approach. And of those who did that, I'm one of them. And yes, I ran into some problems. But in my particular case, would it have been better had I done it the other way? Not necessarily. And to give you more details on that, I have to meet you face to face, which involves individual personalities, so to speak. I've got to go. Bye-bye, you guys. And see you all next week. K2RIW clear, but listening.
And again, I came in here, I didn't mean to offend you. It's just, you know, yes, I'm going to talk to this attorney. Like I said, he's coming over for another reason. I had him here before. He's a very nice person. 42 years old. He's in the area. Maybe he can go to the town zoning board and goes around for me. Certainly, okay. You can. That's on. Turn it over to Rich.
I don't want to sound like a killjoy. The problem is that when you don't know, things could do this, and that's why talking to a problem is lawyers are highly specialized. On the good side, they know other lawyers, so that lawyer will make it in contact with another lawyer who might know the lawyer to talk to specific, and then from that specific person, find out what you know to avoid things. Personally, I don't like to move unless I have enough information to know exactly what I'm doing and what the pros and cons of either side are. That's something that I'm going to say UPS was alluding to. And I, in a sense, I concur with him that find out, know what you're doing before you do anything, not the eyes crossed. And then you know what you have to do to forward to get to where you want to get to. How are you doing, Lucas? It's been a couple of weeks. Missed you.
How you doing, Todd? Hope you're doing all right. Hey, it's been a while since I spoke to you. But that's just my point. I mean, the average people, you know, you get money coming in from job and everything. You're physically able. They can handle different things. Rich is in a... not a unique situation, but not your typical situation, so I mean, for many reasons, and I just don't want to see him get even in a worse situation if something happens here. And I mean, if I was him, as I said, find out legally everything you got to do and do it right the first time. So it's just you could end up with more grief down the road if you don't, and I just don't think he's in a position to have to deal with that. So that was my only points about making that comment, but anyway, we're doing all right. We're in Pennsylvania. I got about an hour or so to go left to my shift, and then I'm off for 2 weeks, so I'm looking forward to that. Rich?
It's very good. I'm glad the repeater is still on. It'll go off any minute. Very good. Well, like Todd said, drop the I's, cross the T's, and you said the same thing. I'm going to talk to this lawyer. He's coming here for an unrelated purpose. I'm having him do a will to protect the family in case something happens to me. Okay right now, but you never know. Yeah, I'm going to ask him what he thinks. Of course, he'll charge me, and I don't mind. See, I've got one neighbor that's very close. We're on very good terms. Fortunately, I've got the house on the other side. I got trees on the side for the neighbor.
KD2CBB is not going to take credit from someone else. I said, like Rich, dot your I's, cross your T's. I didn't say that. I agree with what he's saying, alright? Find out what you know ahead of time, so that way you don't have a hassle. Just makes it a little longer, but it's worth the time. And I'm currently in a situation where I'm trying to connect with the correct lawyers who can answer the question. And no, that's lawyers who got an aviation as well as something else. So I can't even go to one lawyer. I have to go to two, and I'm trying to find the correct two. that will give me the information I need so I know what to do next. Where I do something and then turns out I was the wrong.
Okay.
Let's go back out to Pennsylvania, and if you got a trip, I have no compunctions about keeping you company, my friend.
Okay, Todd, no problem. And Rich, it, like you say, you're on good terms with your neighbor right now. You want to see things turn around very quickly. You put up a radio tower or put up a large structure or like a big shed in your backyard. You change something like that. You'll see how quick people can turn on you. It's sad, but it happens. And they're going to see this thing go up to 60-foot structure, and all of a sudden, because the computer isn't working, it's your fault. Because now that they can't download something into their Kindle to read, it's your fault. You know, I mean, it's not necessarily TVI interference anymore, but any electric, like their car won't start. Guess what? It must be the guy with the big tower in his backyard. You know, you're going to become the attraction for problems. And you want to make sure, again, that everything you've done to put that up is done all properly so that they can't cause you grief about it. There was just a story that I've been reading about it, and I know it was QRZ. Guy got a permit for this tower. I think he got permits to 60 feet. He put a 57-foot crank up. Normally it's at like 30 feet, but he can crank it up to 57 feet. But he put a horizontal stepper antenna on it, you know, HS beam, that has something like a 30-foot boom. Well, the neighbors went absolutely ballistic about this because it ruins their view, and they made such a stink. The town actually is coming in, and they're re-examining his permit and everything else, and there's a chance he might lose it now. So, you know, you never really know what's going to happen, and good neighbors can become bad. So just keep all of that in mind. You know, like Todd said, I'm not trying to be a killjoy. I'm just trying to make you as aware as I can about the different situations that are out there. That's all. Rich?
Absolutely, Rich. I know they can turn on you 1, 2, 3. He's the only neighbor I got across the street, Cartwright Boulevard, which is wide, very wide, is a neighbor. And that's the only neighbors I got, which is a very good thing. On one side, the other side, I've got trees. The other side, I've got a house. Hopefully there's no problem. That'll certainly help. Great. My neighbor, that's on
me. I don't know if we're going to lose the reach or not, but I'm also confused. Vince handed to me, I handed to Rich. I'm confused. N2EO, listen to you. Yeah, say to you. Hope I got all that right. How do I put it? I have to deal with people, and I have sensory disabilities. Nobody can see that. They can't just say, oh, I get it. And one of the biggest obstacles is people always know what I'm doing better than I know what I'm doing. Without ever asking me what it is I'm actually doing at a given time. And so they think they're right. I understand they're trying to help. Like what he said, how quickly they turn on when trying to say, no, I'm not crossing the street that way, I'm going east-west, I'm going this way, north-south, you know, and how quickly they use exemplatives I can't say up here when they were trying to help in the first place. And so now you're talking about their house and what they think when they don't know and so on. You know, when you have to submit paperwork, get those documents that Dick mentioned, the TDI-1, the Communications Act of 1996, where the FCC clearly states not a problem. If you get a physics professor to prove that a tree is more hazardous than power.
Repeater, timeout. Repeater, timeout. Cancel.
Dang it! Alright, well, I hope I didn't get it properly. Anyway, we know where it's going now. Over to you, Rich.
Buy a clock, will you?
No, I want a John.
There's another aspect to it, too, is when a friend of mine was putting up a tower in Levittown, had the issues where it was being considered an attractive nuisance, where he had to make sure that it was there was a locked fence around the base of the tower to keep curious minds away that might try to climb it and get hurt and injured. You know, you got to protect other people from themselves in a situation like that. It's some interesting things that arose from that. Rich?
Very true, Rich. But we do have a fence all the way around the property. Let me turn it over to John.
KC2WGB. Yeah, towers can be interesting, and they can be an attractive hazard. Of course, you're liable for it. So, even if the fence is around it, you're still liable. But, you got to do what you got to do, Rich. I wouldn't stir any sleeping dogs, but I would sure ask questions of the lawyer. I'm sure he may be able to give you some great advice. Like they said, he may be able to refer you to the proper person to ask at the building department. You know, you don't know until you get into it. But you're working on a lot of things now. I just get what you're doing done first, and then, you know, go for the tower and the antenna. And don't forget, it's an antenna support. It's not a tower. They get scared when you say that word.
I need a cuckoo, John, instead of a clock. What was I gonna ask? How about insurance for the tower and so on? You know, I mean, doesn't that also help to have insurance if you think of?
Usually important structures are covered under your homeowner's policy with good, no major insurers do, but it doesn't hurt to call.
Okay. Let's go on back out to Pennsylvania.
And good evening to John. And what have you ever heard of the strategy of guys who wanted to put up towers and applying for, let's say, a 100-foot tower when all they really wanted was 60 to 70 feet, let's say. But they put the permits in for 100 knowing it was going to be turned down and then said, well, you know what? Okay, we'll compromise. I only want 75 now. But if he'd gone in first to ask for 75, he probably would have gotten that. I thought that was an interesting way to approach the situation. Rich?
It's a 60-foot structure, and it gave me good advice. Don't call it a tower. Call it a high tower, but it's actually an antenna. It's not a tower. It's not a support structure. Todd, pick it up. Turn it over to John. Here, I'm John. You got it.
Okay, Richard, I just gave Todd a little time in case he's in the middle of making up his gerbil speech. he's doing something. Well, I'm glad the work in the house is going fine. I heard your discussion before. That sounds like it's progressing beautifully, swimmingly, as they say. But, you know, that's what you got to concentrate on right now. You're thinking of so many different things. You're going to make yourself crazy. One step at a time. You know, like a termite. Eventually, they eat a whole building.
That's true. And I wonder in your travels and through catalogs and suppliers, John, do you know anybody that still carries the old flat 300 ohm twin lead? I have a 100 feet, but it's a much heavier duty 300 ohm. The plastic coating on it is very heavy, and there's a foam core separating the two. And it's not that really light, flimsy stuff, which I'm looking for a very lightweight backpacking antenna. So the 300 ohm, it's too heavy. I know somebody's got to make it out there still, that real thin stuff, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, that foam field,
I don't know
if it's still available. Manufactured by Channelmaster made that, and basically that was for UHF frequencies, they claimed at the time. But now, as far as that goes, I believe you might be able to look in Mauser. They may still have the old wire. Also, that place in Lima, Ohio, Fair Radio Sales, you might call them. They have a lot of old stuff, and they may have a loop of that laying around. Because you don't need that much weight, like 50 feet would be plenty, right?
Yeah, 50 would definitely do one antenna. I mean, I might make more than one, but that would definitely get me going. And I'm going to keep my eye open. I'll be at Dayton this weekend or the week from now, so I'll be able to check that out too and see what I can find. But I know there was one, I don't know if it was Quicksilver radio. I'm trying to think now. Because I also have some 400 or 450 ohm window line, I think they call it. But that's solid conductor. And I think he carries that as well as the 300 ohm, but I'm not sure how heavy a gauge it is. But it's important that it be stranded and not solid, because if I'm rolling and unrolling it, it's going to be flexed a lot, and then eventually the solid will break. But I'll be checking out a date. I just wasn't sure, but I'll check Mauser as well. Rich?
Okay, Rich has going 450 ohm ladder line, LADD. The cheap one is solid. It's copper coated. And then they've got stranded copper, which is a lot more money. Anyway, I got it, catch on. Maybe HRO has something on it, catch on.
KC2WGB. I know Radio Shack used to handle it, but they're out of business. I don't think you'll find any around there. But you'll probably find it in Dayton, I'm sure. With all of those vendors, somebody's got to have that. And I don't know, I don't remember, I know that they made some solid 450 ladder line, but I don't think anybody made any solid 300 ohm twin lead. I don't think that's available in solid.
Yeah, the 300 that I've always seen has always been stranded. Even the stuff I have stranded, it's so heavy per foot that, and it doesn't really want to coil up. Like when you try to reduce the size of it, you really can't coil it much more than like a foot diameter circle. And I'd like to be able to put it tighter than that to stick into a backpack. So I mean, I could use that for an antenna at home that I'm not going to be moving around much. But at a ladder line I'm familiar with, Rich, but this stuff is specifically, it is called window line because like the 300 ohm, it has actually has solid pieces of plastic connecting the two, and they just cut little windows in it. You know, where true ladder line is basically two wires with spacers in it. The 450 ohm stuff that I have, the solid, is not ladder line. It's actually called window line. It's slightly different products. But it's easy enough to make your own, true ladder line using any number of spaces. There's even some commercial products that just clip in. You buy like a 1,000-foot roll of wire and make it as long as you want. Just snap these spacers in every 2 feet or 3 feet or whatever, and you're pretty much good to go. So, but we're planning out some other designs for portable antennas, and I'm sure I'll find a lot of ideas and supplies in Dayton. Rich?
Very good. I know the spacers. I used to know what company sold them. Yes, they're putting by the wire. They snap together. The wire, the 600 ohm, the wire wire.
Yeah, those spacers used to be made by Gerald and other companies like that. Possibly Amphenol too, but I'm not going to be buying those. You don't have to worry about that. But yeah, I think you got a good shot at picking up that wire at Dayton. And what is Dayton next week?
Yeah, it starts this Thursday, or actually this Friday. It's Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. It officially ends Sunday at, I think, 1 o'clock in the afternoon. But I'm leaving. I'm driving out with a friend. I'm leaving Thursday, probably, I want to leave no later than 4 a.m. I'd like to maybe even hit the road by 3 a.m. It's depending on traffic, 9 to 10 hours of driving from where we're leaving from to get out there, and because we're going to have to stop to eat at some point. That'll take a little, add some time to that. And there's a store out there that Eric was telling me about called Mendelssohn's. It's four stories or four floors of a very eclectic mix of items. You would not call it a flea market. It's not an electronic store, but they do have a lot of electronic stuff. It seems like it's a lot of closed-out stuff, and it's all new, but it's a very, very eclectic mix of things, and they actually do go to Dayton themselves with the display, but of course they're only going to bring their things that they think hams are interested in. Well, they have a lot of other stuff that I might be interested in too, so I'd really like to take a look at that store. They're not open on Sunday, and they close at 5 in the evening. So I want to get into Dayton between 2 and 3 in the afternoon, so I'll have a couple hours to go through that place before the convention starts on Friday.
I've heard of that place, Mendelsohn, a long time ago. All right, Liz, John, I'm going to get out of here and go to sleep. I'm tired, which is unusual for me at this day of later. Contractors will be here. They start early, at 7:30. John, over to you. I'm clear, guys. And to you.
Reg 146 to you and to Ms. B.
DC2WGB. 7-3, Rich. Enjoy the day. Now morning. Good luck with your contractors. Hope they get out of there quick. Rich?
Okay, 7-3, Rich. Good luck with everything. And hope it all works out for you. So, but yeah, that's pretty much it, now, John. So hopefully, when I get home tomorrow, I'm having some work done. Putting a trailer hitch on a Jeep, and then I got to try to find the right receiver adapter so that I can put my big screwdriver antenna onto the trailer hitch. Don't really want to use it like that all the time. If somebody bumps into it, they break it, but just for this one trip, it'll work out. Plus, I can use the, I'll be using a hitch for other things, field day and stuff. So, but it's going to be a fun trip, nice little road trip. Looking forward to it. I think that I know of is at least a half dozen or so, maybe eight guys from Long Island I know that are going. So we'll be well represented, and it should be a good time.
Todd is going to pick it up. Well, are you putting the type of hitch on your vehicle where they mount the trunnions in, and then you have a removable hitch bar so you don't have anything sticking out at all? Is that what you're going to put on?
That's correct. And it's they make different size, different grades. I got the class 1, 2, 3, 4 for different weight ratings and towing capabilities. I'm not sure what the weight rating is going to be on this, but being that I'm not pulling heavy trailers, that isn't that much of a consideration. But it's going to have a 2-inch by 2-inch opening. I think they also make like an inch and a half or inch and a quarter square. They make a 2.5-inch square for more heavy-duty stuff. But this is a 2x2. And then you get different, tubes that fit into that opening, and they get locked in with a pin. And then the end of that tube has a ball hitch or a pintle hook or, you know, sometimes the bike rack, whatever. You can use it for many different things. They make like a big shelf that you can plug in. And then if you got, you know, if you're a deer hunter or something, you can strap the deer on the back. Or if, you know, you're traveling or camping, you put extra gear out there. I mean, I'll use the hitch for a lot of different things. But I don't want to use it as the regular mount for the screwdriver antenna. Because if it's in a parking lot, somebody taps it or something, that's a lot of damage. So I'm trying to come up with a different mount. I talked to a fabricator, and he was talking about putting a hole in the upper surface of my bumper, which at that point is plastic, and then mounting the screwdriver to the frame that's underneath the bumper. So the bumper would actually then be protecting the screwdriver part of, you know, the mechanism. So I have to consider that. But biggest thing now is just trying to get it all done before I leave Thursday morning.
Oh, very good. Yeah, good luck with that. And, you know, that hole you're going to make in that bumper, that plastic element, you could make a sleeve fit where you could remove the antenna if you wish at any time without any major changes, you know. That would be convenient. And it's good you're getting a hitch, because when you go down to Dayton, you may want to hire a trailer while you're down there to bring back all the stuff you're going to buy.
KTUPS. Oh, you don't laugh. That was actually a consideration, and I was teasing the friend that I'm driving with, because we both like to eat, and we both like to buy stuff. And don't worry, I got the heavy duty suspension on the Jeep, so we should be fine. Even though we're going to eat a lot and probably buy a lot of stuff, but, we'll see how that goes. When I was talking to the fabricator, it's actually a private garage in Hicksville, and a guy just specializes in customizing Jeeps, predominantly Wranglers, some Cherokees and stuff, but predominantly Wranglers, and getting them set for doing off-roading, you know, lifting them, putting bigger tires on, changing the bumpers out, some engine modifications, all that kind of stuff. So when I went in there, I originally asked him to, if he could just weld on a piece of and just underneath the bumper, because I need to see this antenna from my driver's side mirror, so I can tell roughly where it is in its tuning stage, because I can't put a remote sensor on it. It's not able to have one of those mounted on it, so I need to see it while I'm adjusting it instead of just looking at the SWR meter on the radio. So he was a little confused about what I was describing. He had the idea, but he didn't know how big it was. He goes, well, why don't you just come back, you know, go home, get it. This is down the street from my house, and bring it back and so I could take a look. I wanted to make it look right. He said, you know, I'm not going to make it look shoddy because my name's going on it as well, and I don't do shoddy work. So when he looked at it, he goes, that's big. I mean, the coil on this antenna is almost 4 feet long and probably about 4 inches in diameter. It's a massive coil for the screwdriver, but it'll do 8310 meters. So... and ultimately, and if I change the bumper, that was the other thing he asked, are you ever going to change the bumper and put an aftermarket bumper on it? Then I might do that. Because, well, then you don't want to pay me to modify this bumper if you're just going to remove it. So, you know, that's another thing. Now, do I get another bumper now and put the antenna on, or do I do it through the bumper and then wait a few years? So, I got choices.
KDJC, comment. Rich, one last question. The bracket he's going to put in for the trailer mount, is he going to bolt that in, or is that going to be a welded structure? And turn it over to Hank. I think I heard Hank in there.
And Todd was there also with a comment. This one gets bolted on. The holes are already there, and so it'll be bolted on. But then when I'm not using anything, of course, there will be nothing to catch your leg or anything on. But being that my spare tire is mounted on the tailgate, when I put the extension piece in, or when I put the receiver piece in that I'm going to mount the screwdriver to, it's got to come far enough away from the bumper to clear the spare tire. But they make extension pieces that are long enough for that, so that shouldn't be a problem. I got to find a store that has it in stock. Todd, and then the other braking station, I think you said it was Hank.
KD2CB. I don't know the make, model, or what it looks like, but you're talking to a fabricator. A couple of things. A quick disconnect and or a hinged mount, so that way when you park the thing, you can just flip it side and or disconnect the antenna, put the antenna in the car. You're talking to a fabricator. Have the antenna exactly where you want it to see it from the driver's side. It's hinged, or, you know, it's just a couple of things. Because you're talking to the fabricator. I just wanted to put those ideas out there. And if it was Hank, pick it up. If it's not Hank, you can pick it up anyway. KD2's the group.
Don't hear anybody else. Go ahead, John.
Okay. YDY, Hank, are you out there, sir? Okay, I know I heard him in there, but who knows? Alrighty, well, I'm going to top off, and I got to get up early tomorrow and get some things done, so I'll bid 73 to everybody, and have fun.
John, I have a question.
I'll see if I have any answers left.
Why do you have to leave now if you have to get up early tomorrow, which is Tuesday? I'm confused.
Because I have to get 34 hours of sleep.
Oh, that's right. You have the tech net tonight. You know, you're managing vehicle link and you're listening to... Yep, okay. I'm sorry. I forgot about that. Forgive me. It was a stupid scratch cookie for me. And... Oh, did you talk to the doctor about that Dasmaquin, whatever it was? And if so, tried it, did it help him?
Well, she's on another medication now, which seems to be working. It seems to be helping her a little bit. So I'm continuing that until it runs out, which is probably another week or so I have left of that. And then I may move on to that new medicine. We'll see.
Okay, and good morning, Wesley. Yeah, that's a dietary supplement. I don't think it's called medicine, but I'll have to ask. Hi, good to hear you in there. And I know I heard Hank before you were, and I'll give you a 146, and I'll pass it over to Wesley. You can pass it to Rich. And this is KD2CB.
Thank you very much, Todd. John, did you have a chance to look at the videos?
Yes, I did.
There are a few concepts they have. One of the concepts is with that two legs mounted screwed to the wall, each section, but that would be more like permanent. And the other one, the short video, not really very good quality, is like the last one that I have sent you today. The guy has that beam on the two wheels from one side, from the other side, he's just holding it. And he has those two legs that's supposed to be against the wall next to where he's holding. And he just flipped it and takes it.
Yeah, I've seen those before, and that's a lot of bolting to the wall and stuff like that. I don't know. He was going into masonry, and I didn't agree with the way he was piloting those holes, and he wasn't using the right anchors. But, it works. And it looks new. Well, I guess that one is new, but yours probably doesn't look any worse for wear because those things last a long time. Yeah, it's a good item, but it's kind of rough setting that up.
So you saw only one video?
I think there was three of them.
Yeah. So there was another one that was kind of standalone. The guy was changing the light bulbs on the pole with the two lamps on it, the sodium lamps.
Yeah, well, they all work basically the same, and I saw the drill that he was using to raise it up and down. But, you can put your own motor on there. Yeah, it's like a nice system. And, you would pay $200 for it, you said. It's cheap.
Less than that. Yeah, in the meantime, I was trying to do the update with my links, and I screwed up something. We'll see. Hopefully I didn't have to. I don't have to go to Connecticut and pay the money for doing the update. They have made the update was for free, but the exclusion of the update wasn't really very much clear, and I had one of the very, very early versions of it, which creates more grief. They referred to some files that I couldn't really identify as exactly the same file. Now I'm just waiting. Going to do this device is updating firmware. We'll see. It's going to update, or I have to reboot it again and then try again. Anyhow, going to leave it like that till tomorrow. So, how's your day?
I'm trying to reprogram the LaCroix, and I got that job that I'm working on. I got that complete. They'll be picking that up probably Tuesday. I had to replace a part in there that luckily I had in stock. It was a relay. It wasn't a Vickers product, but it was a pot of Bloomfield. Made the actual one for Vickers anyway, so that'll do the job. And by the way, I think that device you're working with that you put there, I think that has an Ethernet port. Why don't you just plug it in, call them up, and let them download everything over the Internet. They can load it up for you. It'll be easier than going all the way to hell up there.
Yeah. Two things. First, tell me what is that you're reprogramming LaCroix, and then I answer you the second thing.
I had to start programming the basic functions I had in the FFT system and in the math functions, because when they did the calibration, that got erased. So luckily, I have it all in my notebook, so it's just a question of entering all that crap in there, and it's going to take, I don't know, maybe a day, maybe a day and a half. A lot of stuff has to be programmed.
Oh, there is no backup disk or anything like that?
I don't know. I have a backup disk for waveforms, and I have the firmware on MCI cards, but the actual formulas that I had in there and the processing, I didn't make a copy of that. And I got some updates I have to put in there anyway, so it was just a question of time. I haven't done it. Maybe the last time I loaded that stuff up was like a year ago. So I got to retrain my brain again. What a waste.
It usually works a little bit different. It's not the year that is needed. It is just 1 month or maybe 2 months, and you start forgetting. And the reason for it is that you have too many toys around. I caught myself on exactly the same. Now, coming back to links. Most of the manuals that they sent me with the... So actually I was able to download from Canberra the upgrade update disk. But it came in a zip file. Now, before Canberra was using HTML and then started to use the Java. And once the browsers in the computer have evolved to the newer and newer, Java was forbidden to be used in Google, but then it was on Adobe platform. So since Canberra was selling this thing like crazy at a certain period of time and big money, and it was a flagship of Canberra, they wrote another software. So that software came as a zip. Then I found only one computer that had a old enough browser, and this browser was really showing altogether the best way possible. Now, the first switch, because it was a new device, supposed to be with the crossover cable, which actually works this way, that you have two ends, like in regular Ethernet cable, but it's flipped from one side.
It's a null modem cable.
Yeah, null modem cable, right, but they call it... Well, null modem cable is not really assigned to the Ethernet RJ45.
Yeah, they make, but, okay.
Okay. RS-232, you could have a null modem, but this is called crossover.
Whereas the null modem cable merely has two pins reverse, because the send and receive get reverse between devices. They had them for serial, but had them for the parallel of the RS-232. That's all it is. I think it's pin 2 and 3 in a serial.
No, don't. You have two tabs. One is flip and one is not. Okay, and then you have a little tab that would be the third guy, and another little tab that would be the fourth guy. So now, those two big tabs makes, when they flip, they make null modem. The small tabs makes the crossover. That's the official term for this cable. Enter XGN.
Not the official term. It's the term for idiots, because they didn't understand the combinations. So that's why they made it simple.
That was used when modems were switches, routers were expensive. So it was an inexpensive way to connect the computers together. So when you got the new one, the first what you got to do is crossover cable connected between the computer and links. And in the manual, they tell you what link has as an IP address. So you put IP address of a computer, you put IP address that's supposed to communicate with, and then you establish the communication. The next thing that you do is change the IP. When you establish the communication, you see the menu, you change the IP in links once you see that in the computer. So then it would be the regular 192.168.0.1.1, whatever. But so then I did that. I find out that only one computer out of four is performing properly. And then I look for the update.
You know, you can download it on zip file, and it'll unzip it for you.
That's what I did. And then what was available only. If it was available to regular communication, it would be happy. But this device was, concept was made in 2000. They didn't make anything better, but this is really, really Rolls Royce. something good. But anyhow, I download the zip, I open up the file, made the folder, and there are plenty of files there. And now, in the part of the manual, they say, well, from version 1.2 to 1.3.3, whatever, but I have 1.1, 1.1. So now I get a bunch of files, the manual doesn't really say exactly what I'm supposed to do, but yes, I put update, it directs me to the folder. In the folder I have a choice, it's bin file, NT bin file, there's no NT bin file. But it says on the version, it says update one of two and update two of two, so yeah, I start to do it. But now, got into the trouble, they say don't refresh. So, if I screw up, then I'm going to be calling them. If not, then we'll see what happens. So it's an expensive play for me. Enter your shit.
KC2WGB. Well, that's what I'm saying. Just plug it into the computer port and let them do it over the internet. I'm sure they can handle it. Even if they charge you a few dollars. What the hell? Saves you a trip going up there. But you like to travel anyhow.
Oh, that's too late right now. That's too late. If I go over there, I go over there with a device. No, it's too late right now. Even though they load to the computer, from over there, they wouldn't be able probably to establish a communication. But anyhow, I have a zip file that I unzipped, and now I have everything ready. So I don't want to stop that because I don't want to corrupt that it says updating, but it's doing nothing. I should have simply bring it back to whatever it was before, which was the no connection through the router, but connection with the crossover cable, and that way I have a direct communication, I have nothing in between. I have to be worried for me using another computer and slowing up the data or whatever. And once I have those files already in my computer, I could have done it, but my fault. And to actually.
Yeah, you really got to be careful when you're updating stuff. And I'm trying to do two things at one time, this can happen. Then you don't have the correct documentation for the different, you know, for the upgrade, so that makes it a little more difficult. But all right, yeah, try the best you can. That's all.
Yeah. So, what you're going to be doing tomorrow?
I'll be packing that Vickers up to be shipped. They're going to be picking that up, like I said, either, probably not tomorrow, but Tuesday. They'll come down, get a nice check for that, take care of that. Then I can go back to the important things I have to do, like playing with my LaCroix.
By the way, how important you are to the children? It's a typical mechanism. Once my wife is a shrink, she manifested a typical mechanism in the horde. Typical mechanism or in a society we could name it, but very much similar to the animals. She says, "Well, I'm already three weeks in Poland. I want to be with my husband." I said, "Well, your dad was raising you, was dressing you, was paying for everything and letting you finish up your university, getting your diploma, and you complain about staying with your dad, a beautiful person, for 1 month. So here you go. Once the children grow up, you're just element in their life. Some element, if I word it properly, enter a shit.
I don't know. That's strange. You know, when I used to leave, I used to go on vacation. I would always be gone at least 4 weeks, maybe 6 weeks. I would travel and have fun. And it would go like a week. It'd be like, what, I got to go home already? Yeah, well, 6 weeks, we got to leave. And here she is a month, and she's 3 weeks, she's ready to come home. Crazy.
No, she has an excellent relation with father. I mean, he's a beautiful person. Absolutely. And she wants to be her husband. Enter Asia.
No, no accounting for taste.
No, it is being observed. It is being seen all around, in the United States, in Poland, everywhere. Once the birds grow up, they go on their own. And you are just a reminder of what was then. I mean, they have the feelings. They have their own life. And to assure.
Well, that's true. You know, even in the animal kingdom, you know, birds ready to fly, it flies. And sometimes it doesn't return. So, and, you know, people are similar. You know, they put up with their parents for a while. They get out of the house and they find that they can exist without their parents. And sometimes, you know, they drift and, you know, they still love the parents and all, but they don't spend that much time. I guess that's normal.
Well, it's normal, but it's unpleasant. You grow up your children, John, and all you can count of them is just based on their inability to tell you that, listen, you're dead, it's okay, we love you, okay, but we have our own lives. Leave us alone.
Yeah, that's very true. They're very, you know, they're busy. Sometimes they work a lot, or they have other things to do, have their own hobbies. And like you say, they make their own life.
Yeah, that is what it says. One mother can raise up five children couldn't take care of one mother.
Yeah, I think every civilization had that saying, that's for sure. Very true.
Todd.
Yes, sir, Katie, do you see me?
Go ahead.
Well, I really don't know what to say here. And I'm rich out there, too. I'm listening to you. I don't know. I don't know what to add. My point is,
I don't understand you. You don't know what to say. Say something.
Something.
That's enough. Rich.
Well, I don't want to leave Rich out. He's out in the wilds of Pennsylvania. He might want to chime in.
Rich out for those guys with the piano stools.
Oh my gosh, the piano stool again.
God, I'm still laughing from that. Those rednecks are crazy.
Okay, I'm gonna take you to South Carolina. My gosh, when was this? 27 years ago, almost to the day, and I'm going around the neighborhoods, and I find a cable hooked up illegally. I'm supposed to pull it off. First thing is, I come up to the trailer, and there's three good old boys with the pickup trucks and the rifles and the racks. Doors wide open, and I come up, knock at the door. Hi, I'm with Austin's Cable Marketing, and we're just checking out the neighborhood and running a check on illegal cable lines and also offering people, if they want to pick up cable, they can. Now, right in that front door of this trailer, it's a room, and there's a 52-inch TV. And the three of them are sitting on the couch, and they're watching ESPN drop. And the guy said, well, I don't got no cable, and I don't want no cable. And I'm looking right behind him, and he said, yes. And I said, hey, no problem. You guys have a nice day. And so I go to the next trailer. There's nobody there. It's vacant. And that's where he tapped in the line. And, oh, he was clever. He buried the wire. So I ripped the wire up, got close to the trailer I just came from, clipped the wire, and I was done. Went on about my business, and about an hour later, I'm coming back, and my partner is watching. Three guys, and they're all like 300 pounds. It's worse than the Three Stooges. watching them trying to put an antenna up on his trailer. So there you go. But we don't got no cable.
And the SBN is on the screen. Come on.
And they're the educated ones.
Only in America. These are the people that you see on Jerry Springer. What more can you say?
Did they impress you by smashing beer cans on their forehead?
Look, I'm trying to think of a name that comes to mind. It was like watching so-and-so attempt to put a battery in a transistor radio. I can't think of any name that comes to mind. You had to be there to see it. And the other thing you had to see was the 12-year-old girls there. Oh, my gosh. Never mind.
Yeah, down there. That's an adventure, for sure. You get down in, off the narrow streets of Whitecross, Georgia, and places like that, you run into some hysterical situation.
Wesley, have you ever been down that way?
I wasn't listening. I was, in the kitchen.
No, but what I mean is John's obviously been down there. Okay. And seen these people. Have you ever seen people like what we're talking about?
I don't know who you're talking about because I was in the kitchen.
Okay. Let me put it this way. Have you ever seen the Jerry Springer show and seen the people who appear on the show in their natural habitat?
A long time ago, yes. But I'm not watching TV for a few years now.
Right. They haven't changed.
Okay. So, yeah. Well, look. It's extremely intimidating to put the label on the people. We have a natural tendency to put the label on the people. John?
Yeah, I don't want to label them. It's just, you know, it's politically incorrect to do that. But the people we're talking about are just stupid idiots. They do stupid things, and they hurt themselves and hurt other people. I mean, when you take a sled and go up on your roof and expect to slide down the roof, and when you hit the dirt and get hurt and you wonder why that happened, or if you're on a trampoline and you're jumping up and down and you're going to jump up, so he jumps off his roof, hits the trampoline, flies up into the air, and is going to go into his pool. But he didn't make it. He hit the edge of the pool instead of the pool, and he was knocked unconscious. And how do you deal with people like that? They're idiots.
Oh, John. No. The problem with that, I remember hearing about that. The problem was he had everything all figured out. He was intelligent. The only thing he didn't calculate was the fact that the pole moved.
Yeah, well, they also have the telephone poles and trees that jump out in front of their cars. Yeah, they have a lot of issues.
They're with a KD2C. There was just a radio program, and I believe it was on late 70s, and possibly into the early 80s. And normally, if I try to get something, catch something, and listen or watch it on a regular basis, I normally remember a lot about it. But this thing was on like once a month or once every 2 or 3 months. And I can only remember one particular story. The show was called People Who Should Not Be Allowed to Procreate.
Wow, that's a large part of the population, I think.
Okay. Come up this way. A person is working and he comes home and he lies on his sofa and he watches TV. He wants to rest, he wants to think about nothing, eat the garbage from the TV, and eventually, tomorrow, he has to go to work back. But there are some guys who are being fed by the government, and they have even more time. With no particular interest in life, they think about what to do. John.
Did I tell you the story about the piano stool, Wes?
Oh, guys! Yeah. You told the story today. Yeah, I've heard it.
Oh, today? Did I tell you that today, Todd? I think I was speaking to you, Todd. I don't remember saying it today. Okay, maybe I did.
But you did it to Todd. It was on the overnight last night. I can't pipe me. No, it's yesterday, man. But it was Saturday night, if you think about it. If you guys want to hear, I'll tell you one of the stories from people who should not be allowed to procreate.
The perception is to be blamed for it. The level of perception creates emotion. Emotion is then a cause of an action taken. So then the action causes the result of motion. John?
Well, it's sort of true, but not in most cases. These people are just idiots. They just do stupid things. They have an emotional reason to do stupid things. No, I don't believe that. They just, they're bored. So they find out, let's take a couple of sticks of dynamite and blow up a tree, and then one of them gets a splinter through their head. And it's okay. It's accepted. And these are not lazy people. I mean, they work. They work hard. But they just do dumb things. Unbelievable.
Gotta hear this story. Well, sometimes it's a misconception with misperception. Interesting.
Wes, they have a goal in mind. It's just the way they go about doing it is incomprehensible.
What I'm trying to say is that the perception of others who judge the guy who did whatever is based on their point of view from their standpoint. Which I don't blame them for it. So I don't blame you, Todd and John, saying, the guy's an idiot. But there was a time when I was an idiot on this repeater. It was also based on the perception. The guy cannot talk. John?
Well, that's different. You're questioning language skills and people can misinterpret that. But this is not the case. And you can't analyze this because they're doing something. You know, if they're ignorant, that's a different story. But even ignorant people, when they do something and they see the effect, they don't do it again. Well, these people are just stupid because they keep doing the same thing over again. You need a psychologist or you need a psychiatrist to tell you that there's something wrong with that person and analyze it, put it in all big words. That's a waste of time, a waste of money, garbage. They're just stupid.
Yes and no. In some cases, psychiatrists actually do accomplish something. In other cases, no. So that's a little bit of a yes and no. It depends on the psychiatrist, it depends on the case, and so on. But I concur. Ignorance is removable. Stupidity. Aye, look. Wes, you asked a question about emotion. And if you want, I'll tell you this story. And it's a bit of the want or the desire and then how they went about getting it. If you want to hear it.
Ed.
Okay, I assume that was a yes. This comes from that radio program. There were these two guys in the Seattle, Washington area. They wanted to see a concert. And it's at some outdoor venue. You don't have tickets. Sold out. So one guy says, I know a way to get in there. Well, okay. So the first thing they do is they take their pickup truck, they go to a 7-Eleven, and they buy, 3-4 cases of beer. And so for a few hours before the concert, they're drinking through a case or two of beer, and all the beer cans wound up in the back of the truck. So how we get in? Okay, go over here. So it goes over to a place, and they stack the cases of beer so that one guy can stand on it, lift the other guy up so he can grab a tree branch, and then go end over and over the barbed wire fence. Okay, so far so good. The guy's on the branch. The only thing, if they didn't notice, it was a dead branch. So she's going hand over hand in towards a tree. The tree branch breaks.